midnight hags, they yelled, getting into the spirit.
What kind of black and midnight hags?
Evil black and midnight hags.
Are you scheming?
Yeah.
Are you secret?
Yeah.
Howell drew himself to his full height, such as it was.
What are you?
He screamed.
We're scheming, evil, secret, black and midnight hags!
Right!
He pointed a vibrating finger towards the stage and lowered his voice, and at that moment, a dramatic inspiration dived through the atmosphere and slammed into his creative node, causing him to say,
Now, I want you to get out there and give 'em hell. Not for me, not for the goddamn captain.
He shifted the butt of an imaginary cigar from one side of his mouth to the other and pushed back a non-existent tin helmet and rasped,
For Corporal Wazowski and his little dog.
They stared at him in disbelief. On cue, someone shook a sheet of tin and broke the spell. Howell rolled his eyes. He'd grown up in the mountains where thunderstorms stalked from peak to peak on legs of lightning. He remembered thunderstorms that left mountains a different shape and flattened whole forests. Somehow, a sheet of tin wasn't the same, no matter how enthusiastically it was shaken. Just once, he thought, just once. Let me get it right, just once. He opened his eyes and glared at the witches.
What are you hanging around for?
He yelled.
Get out there and curse them!
He watched them scamper onto the stage, and then Tom John tapped him on the head.
Howell, there's no crown.
Hmm?
Said the dwarf, his mind wrestling with ways of building thunder and lightning machines.
There's no crown, Howell. I've got to wear a crown.
Of course there's a crown. The big one with the red glass. Very impressive. We used it in that place with the big square.
I think we left it there.
There was another tinny roll of thunder, but even so, the part of Howell that was living the play heard a faltering voice on stage. He darted to the wings.
I have smothered many a babe,
he hissed and sprinted back.
Well, just find another one then, he said vaguely, in the props box. You're the evil king, you've got to have a crown. Get on with it, lad. You're on in a few minutes. Improvise.
Tom John wandered back to the box. He'd grown up among crowns, big golden crowns made of wood and plaster, studded with finest glass. He'd cut his teeth on the hat brims of authority, but most of them had been left in the disc now. He pulled out collapsible daggers and skulls and vases, the strata of the years, and right at the bottom, his fingers closed on something thin and crown-shaped, which no one had ever wanted to wear because it looked so uncrownly. It would be nice to say it tingled under his hand. Perhaps it did. Granny was sitting as still as a statue and almost as cold. The horror of realization was stealing over her.
That's us, she said, round that silly cauldron. That's meant to be us, Gaither.
Nanny Ogg paused with a walnut halfway to her gums. She listened to the words.
I never shipwrecked anybody, she said. They just said they shipwrecked people. I never did.
Up in the tower, McGrat elbowed the fool in the ribs.
Green blusher,
she said, staring at the third witch.
I don't look like that.
I don't,
do I?
Absolutely not, said the fool.
And that hair!
The fool peered through the crenellations like an over-eager gargoyle.
It looks like straw, he said. Not very clean, either.
He hesitated, picking at the lichened stonework with his fingers. Before he'd left the city, he'd asked Howell for a few suitable words to say to a young lady, and he'd been memorizing them on the way home. It was now or never. I'd like to know if I could compare you to a summer's day. Because, well, June 12th was quite nice, and...
Oh, you've gone.
King Verence gripped the edge of his seat. His fingers went right through it. Tom John had struck...